Aloha, and welcome to Global Family Live. I am your host, Kay Snow Davis, and have a very special guest tonight, Lauren Laster. Now, just take a breath, because no matter where you are or what your life feels like right now, this hour is for you. Relax. Just take a deep breath in. Now breathe in aliveness. Now let your breath out and release your stress of the day. Take another breath in and let the love in the universe come in on that breath. And then release your breath in gratitude. You know, in today's world, in today's life, our primary focus really, really needs to be practicing love and gratitude. From the moment our eyes begin to open in the morning to the last thing we go to sleep at night, our most precious gift is our breath, and our most precious gift is that we have one more day to be alive. And in this time of tremendous transformation on the planet, if we commit to treasure each day with our own aliveness, and I can tell you that this last week has been amazingly challenging for so many people in so many ways. Maybe you can concur with that in your own life. Some of the challenges have been physical, some very amazing things happening in their physical body, huge, huge amounts of emotional stress or distress or confusion or great sense of sadness. This seems to be happening more with the women, that there are many, many women, various ages, that are dealing with waves of sadness. I don't know if you've noticed that. So I was just checking the astrological signs tonight before we started our show, and we've got a lot of water happening right now, and powerful water, because it's Pisces and it's Scorpio and Cancer. And Mars just went retrograde in Cancer. Now, what does retrograde mean? Well, let's check. Mars, first of all, is action. Cancer is the feminine principle, the emotions, our love and nurturing self. And whenever anything goes retrograde, what it mainly means is the energy goes inside, and we work things from the inside. So when we have this much water that's being activated right now astrologically, our body's three-fourths water, the planet's three-fourths water. So water activation astrologically is going to help bring new life, new breath. So the more that we allow ourselves to feel our emotions, allow our emotions to move through us, the more manageable the experience and they appear to be. Combined with Saturn in Virgo, which is literally pay attention to the physical world. Pay attention to your details. Pay attention to your physical body. Take those steps of action. Thinking about things is just not enough now. So my suggestion right now, from this point until next week when we talk again, give your body priority. Make sure you drink enough water. Make sure that you are taking lots of deep breaths. Those two things alone will facilitate the frontal lobe of your brain to be clearer on a physiological level, on an energetic level, from a clearer command center. The brain works as the command center. All of the rest of the organs in your body have a much greater chance to have balance. So if you'll drink more water, take deeper breaths, and right now it's really important to move your body. Now, whether that's just walking every day, or if you like to dance, or swim, or yoga, whatever is your movement of choice. But our physical body, our physical life, our physical world is really demanding attention right now. And you might be noticing this also in your animals. So pay attention to the animals also, because Edgar Cayce said the animals come in service to the human beings. And when our stress level is over the top, they're part of the balance. Remember how the animals knew when that tsunami was coming in Indonesia? There's some way that they are so tuned in to the earth changes and what's going on. So we have huge changes in the earth, not only with what we're seeing with the earthquakes and the tornadoes and the floods and the fires, but also astronomically. Have you been keeping up with the information about the comet? This huge comet that now is emitting gases that are 64 times greater than our solar sun. Now, even the scientists are registering, they have no idea what this really is doing with our Earth, but they know that it is influencing the light, and so they recognize it's influencing our Earth, and they are also saying it is influencing our human bodies. Now, an interesting piece came to me just, I think, in the last couple of days from some information from the Mayans and the Hopis, and they talk about a blue kachina coming in the sky that will be bigger than the red kachina. So what the questions are now, the elders are debating, is this comet, which is in fact being recognized by the astronomers and the scientists, having a very blue cast to it based on the gases. They're wondering, is this the blue kachina that these indigenous ones were talking about and have talked about for a long time? So much is being revealed right now. And so many things that we really don't know anything about. We don't know how this influences our daily life. So it's a really appropriate time to give yourself permission to just say, I don't know. But you do know if you're breathing. You do know if you're in a body. And you do know that there are daily things that we must do in order to live. So this is the place where we're working with an integrative consciousness of how do we function in a life in a world where there are so many things that we just really don't know. And then also this very finite thing that we live in a world where we're flesh and bones. We have to have food, we have to have water, we have to have clean air. We need to sleep, we need to keep warm, we need to stay cool. So the first place to begin is the place where you live. And that's in your body. So there's more and more indicators that people are becoming more and more conscious of what are they eating, what are they thinking, what care are they taking of their body, are they drinking good water, and what are they doing about non-toxic things in their home, and what about clothing? So there's a huge shift in consciousness of being more concerned and more aware about taking better care of ourselves, which will preempt our taking better care of the earth that we live on, the only home that all of us have. Now, if you were with us last week, I had a wonderful, wonderful man on, Paul McCormick, and we talked about the emotional barriers to wealth and the huge transition that this man made from his corporation to his life now as a speaker for the spiritual values, including the use of money. So I wanted you to get a chance tonight to hear the other side of the story from a lady, a woman, who has been in business for a long time. I've known Lauren Laster for over 20 years and watched the amazing, amazing changes that this woman has generated in her life with such great courage and such commitment. So I wanted you to hear the story last week. How did a man do this? How did he make a change and follow his true passion? And how is this amazing woman, Lauren, doing the same thing? Now, I want to tell you a little bit about Lauren, because what we want to talk about tonight is a transformed businesswoman from synthetic to organic clothing. Now, Lauren currently owns a sales agency that promotes environmental awareness through clothing and home products, changing the planet one mind at a time through education about daily purchases is Lauren's personal goal. Her leadership skills in resource development make her an invaluable asset to one of her very favorite passions, Feral Cat Caretaker Coalition. And she brings with her a vast amount of experience in the business world, in management and development, in all facets of her life. Lauren's ability to get the job done is her trademark. And this is huge in today's world of transformation and change. Lauren is Vice President and Director of Resource Development for the Feral Cat Caretakers Coalition. And she's been raised in a family who loved nature. And this supported Lauren in her love and her caring for all life. All of this dedication to following her passion and her deep commitment to make life better on this planet has and is creating a fulfilling and extremely rewarding life for Lauren. So I am so happy that you could join us tonight, Lauren, so we could talk about some of these amazing changes that you have undergone, created, and in the midst of over the last 20-some years. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Kay, for that generous, wonderful introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you so much, because I know that when I met you and you were in the midst of the clothing industry right downtown in Los Angeles in the Mart, and how long had you been in business, you and your business partner, at that time when I met you?
Well, Karen and I went into business in 1981. I moved to California in 1979.
Uh-huh.
And Karen and I hooked up and said, we can do it better than the big companies, so let's start a sales agency. And we went into the lingerie business.
Mm-hmm.
And we were what you would call a multi-line representation agency. So we had a lot of different companies. Most of the people that came to us were looking for us to pioneer them,
uh-huh.
for us to bring, you know, their line to our contacts. And
uh-huh.
that's how most people do get into the industry, is through somebody who knows somebody.
Uh-huh.
And when I met you, I was probably just a couple of years into that industry. And then, you know, we really started to take off and make a lot of money in the mid-'80s in the lingerie business.
Uh-huh.
And we sold across the country.
Well, I know when I visited your your display store in the Mart, it was just amazing to me how much you had in that small space and really such high-quality items also. That's the thing I've always loved about you and Karen both, is you really were very, very consistent with high-quality, even though they were not organic fabrics at that time, it was right. still quality.
Correct. Well, that's sort of what we would pride ourselves on, is having things that were, you know, beautifully made, very original, and all with the design sense in mind, which was very important, you know, to both of us, was having quality.
Uh-huh. Well, when did this idea start seeping in about transferring out of the intimate apparel lingerie into the organic clothing? How did that come into your life?
Well, as most things which you think are horrible that are happening at the moment are really good at the other end of the moment.
Right, those tunnels of life, right?
The tunnels, the doors closing and opening. My partner and I were sort of moving in a couple of different directions, but we had some pressure put on us by a manufacturer who wanted more of our time. And that was what I didn't want. I didn't want to go back to having somebody own my time again.
Uh-huh.
So Karen went over and worked with the company direct, which was supposed to be just a short-term thing. And as I was sitting in the office by myself saying, I didn't want to work alone. That was not my goal. I decided down the line, after a few years of not knowing what I was doing, but saying I didn't want to be in this pond alone anymore, that somebody came into my office and said, what do you think about this? And I'll never forget the day, because it was in a cardboard box and it was all natural. And I said, well, what is it? And they said, it's a line. We don't think we can sell it. And that's how reps used to work in those days. You know, if they couldn't use it, maybe somebody else down the hall could.
Uh-huh.
And they brought in a line called Earth Goddess.
Uh-huh.
That was the name of the company. And it was the original organic cotton. It was unbleached, undyed, all natural, the way we used to know organic back in those days, in the mid-90s, 1994. And I said, what is it? And they said, it's organic cotton. And I just stopped and I said, what is that? And I've heard of organic food.
Right.
And I had heard of organic other things, but I had never heard of organic cotton. And it opened up a door for me to at least find out what that was. And when I found out what that was and how it was created in an environmentally sound way, so that the thread, that what's happening here is happening somewhere else at the same time. One of the expressions that we have in the industry is that pesticides don't know when to stop killing. So when you're spraying a cotton field and T-shirts, cotton is the second most toxic sprayed plant on the planet, tobacco being number one.
Really?
Yes. So 4 pounds of pesticide will be going into a T-shirt that somebody is wearing.
Oh, my God.
But not just the T-shirt. The land, the water, the air, and everything around it. You cannot just spray pesticides in one area. So it opened up this whole thread to me that buying organic clothing as well as eating organic food was as healthy for the planet, not only for yourself, but was as healthy for the planet as anything else that you could possibly do.
Wow. Now, is this in the U.S. particularly that we're talking about, or is this worldwide how cotton is grown?
Yes, it is. It is worldwide. However, you know, over in Europe, there's a lot more consciousness on, especially in the European market, and the Japanese market on organic cotton. There's a great interest on having that. I remember one of the companies that I worked with back in the mid-90s that is no longer around. When I would go to the trade shows, we'd have a very, very big Japanese and clientele.
Uh-huh.
But they were dyeing everything black.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was sort of an oxymoron.
Right,
they
right.
were buying natural organic cotton and dyeing it black, but they could still call it organic cotton.
Uh-huh.
But universally, organic cotton is healthier, and I think price-wise now, because the imports are so expensive because of fuel charges,
uh-huh.
organic cotton has pretty much stayed the same over the 10 years, 12 years I've been in the industry.
Uh-huh.
It really has not, you know, gone up and down
uh-huh.
like other things have.
So is most of the organic cotton imported then into the U.S.?
No, we have a huge organic market here from Arizona and Texas, which is where most of the organic cotton is grown in this country.
Really?
Mm-hmm. India now has organic. China has organic. Peru has always had organic. And the company that I represent has Egyptian organic.
Uh-huh.
Organic cotton, I always thought, was the purest of cotton. Egyptian cotton has a history even back many, many years ago. When you'd say Egyptian cotton, it would have a notoriety to it,
uh-huh.
that it was softer, it was more absorbent.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that I sell Egyptian organic cotton, I call it 110% cotton.
Uh-huh. And what makes a difference? Because I know I felt Egyptian cotton, and it to me, it does feel different than what I ordinarily feel. What makes the difference in that?
It's a very long staple fiber.
Uh-huh.
You have silkiness in the fiber, where other cotton fibers that are grown are spun together.
Oh.
So where you may have 20 or 30 pieces of cotton that are spun together, you're not going to have that consistent silky feel
uh-huh.
that you do with Egyptian organic
uh-huh.
cotton. Or Peruvian. Those are the two that are really, really well known.
Uh-huh. So that must be a different kind of cotton than what we grow in the U.S.
It is. It
uh-huh.
is. And there's a lot of, there's green cotton. Green cotton is, well, let me back up for a minute. Let me express what organic cotton means. Organic cotton, like organic foods, is grown by a standard that's certified by the United States government.
Uh-huh.
To be grown in a ground that is free of any chemicals and pesticides for a minimum of 3 years.
Uh-huh.
The ground has to be prepared for it to be grown organically. It has
uh-huh.
to be rid from any toxins and grown in pure, as pure as the earth can be.
Uh-huh.
So that's where we get the organic cotton from. But people have been calling cotton natural, you know, the whole fabric of our lives.
Right.
Great marketing campaign.
Right.
But it's a lot of toxins and chemicals in there.
Right. There's a big difference between what we call natural.
Yes.
And what we call organic, because everything might have started out natural
mm-hmm.
until we started interfering with the toxicity that we've introduced into the earth.
Correct.
For our food, as well as what you're talking about for our clothing.
Right.
That it might start out natural, but the in-between process is so harmful to the earth as well as to our bodies. And I've mentioned this book before, and I'm going to mention it probably every show I do for a while, because I'm so taken by the research that Dr. Bruce Lipton has provided for us in his book called Biology of Belief. Because one of the main factors that he is helping us understand is the DNA is not the controlling factor for the cell. The actual cellular membrane wall receives the stimuli from the environment, and that influences the DNA, which influences the messages to the brain. So when we look at the toxicity in our world now, not just thinking, but also the actual toxicity that we're creating in our water, in the earth, which then, of course, is seeping into our food, into our bodies. And with our skin being the largest organ of elimination, whatever eliminates also assimilates.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're wearing clothing that's filled with toxins, and I had no idea that what you were saying about the toxicity, that it was would be held so long and in such a high level even after the garment is produced.
Mm-hmm.
Does that toxicity dissipate at all?
It will dissipate probably through washings. It depends on the types of, you know, detergents you use and things like that. But one of the things that, that moved me in the direction of organic is I had an environmental sales agency in the California Mart for about 5 years. And what finally led me down the road was to the babies. And the company Under the Nile Organics, which is one of the companies that I represent, supports, because she was a mother whose child had skin issues and allergies. And so she was on her mission to find out whether organic cotton could help her child. And now we are well-known worldwide, selling in 11 countries 10 years later. Babies are the ones who immediately show the rashes and the, you know, why people are cloth diapering again.
Right.
Because of all of the plastics and plasticines that are next to the child's bodies. They can't process that as quickly as adults can.
Right, because, of course, their liver is smaller, and the liver is one of the main clearing stations in the human body.
Right.
And if the toxicity that the baby is ingesting or assimilating from the environment, their liver just can't clear it. And, you know, this is one of the more disturbing things to me. If you want to know if your liver is managing, you can check the color of your skin under your eyes or around your eyes. Because if you have toxic liver conditions, it will show as dark circles under the eyes, and I am just appalled at the number of children that I see that are from a year to 2 years old that have these dark circles under their eyes. That should not be happening if they don't have a liver disease.
I never knew that.
Yes. And so if you watch that, and we've got babies now who have the puffiness under their eyes, and the puffiness is the kidneys. And so the color and the puffiness is indicating that their whole processing and purifying systems, the kidneys and the liver, are just overwhelmed.
And we think it's a lack of sleep or
exactly.
something like that. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the other issue right now is that with everything that's gone on with our animals in the last year with China, and now with the toys, with large companies that are bringing things in unsupervised that are going into our kids' mouths, that the Under the Nile Organics company was revolutionary 3 years ago in making toys for babies. In the shapes of vegetables.
Oh, my gosh.
Little carrot teethers and string beans and mushrooms and eggplants and strawberries and all these things that you can now introduce kids to vegetables before they get to the dinner table. And this is a real critical thing with the obesity and all the other issues. And anything you put in a baby's hand is going to go in the mouth. So why not put something good
exactly.
in that baby's hand?
Exactly. And you know, a huge, huge percent of our learning process, as the indigenous tribes have known forever, we learn by modeling. We learn by the assimilation of the representation of what's going on around us. And so it's received, literally, the eyes do not see. The eyes receive the light perception, and it's actually registered in the limbic part of the brain and comes back out then into the world through the biochemical responses. So when we're imaging, it's coming in as light images, and we will begin to reproduce that through our own cognitive process if we see it enough times. That's why they're now using signing as a languaging process for new babies that can't make words. The cognitive mind is a developmental process, and until, you know, about 3 years old, 3 to 5 years old, when they start making words and putting them together. But the real process of having the frontal lobe of the brain actually become trained is when we start learning numbers, we learn the alphabet, we learn to put words together, then we're actually activating that training for the cognitive part of the brain. Until then, we're really receiving our training through imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're saying about the food is a huge impact, especially fortified with what Dr. Bruce Lipton is talking about in his book, The Stimuli from the Environment.
Right.
And it puts that stimuli from the environment is embedding these imprints in the neural pathways. So it isn't something that just, you know, goes through the movie screen like we click the TV. It's landing in the hardware in our brain.
And more now more than ever, I mean, it is a household word, and I have to say that there are very large natural grocers today that did more education for me, so I didn't have to talk myself to death trying to explain to people what organic was.
Yeah.
That once they got it, they got it. And around
right.
1997, there was a little raise in consciousness, and then everybody went back to sleep again.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2004, it started a gallop, and it took off. And I do want to express that I say this to people a lot, that I never went into this for money.
Uh-huh.
I went into this for love.
Uh-huh.
And it was really the love of the universe, whether it's the kitties or the babies or, you know, women who are on a search to do yoga that can now wear organic clothing,
uh-huh.
you know, and feel good about what is on and in their bodies,
uh-huh.
that I went into it, and now it's like when you're sitting in the ocean on a surfboard and you're waiting for that wave.
Uh-huh.
And the wave comes, and you're just on it.
Right.
And that's the way it is, and it has been, and I'm assuming it's going to continue. And when I get somebody that's all excited because they're going to open up an eco store, and I think I've been doing this for 12 years, but I still love talking to people about it.
Right.
Because they found what they were looking for. They found something that made sense to them.
Right, this right. That's so important. Now, for any of you who have just joined us, you are listening to Global Family Live. I'm Kay Snow Davis, your host for tonight's program. And my special guest is Lauren Laster. And we're talking about the amazing transformation that has happened in Lauren's life from the clothing industry that she's participated with for a number of years, and how much joy she's receiving by participating with the organic clothing now. And Under the Nile, which you can actually go online and look at those. Now, I think, Lauren, didn't you say that they could actually, that our audience can buy direct from underthenile.com?
Yes, they can. They can find everything from the organic vegetable teething toys to newborn layettes, to long johns, which are great for kids, to blankets for yourself, for your beds. And
uh-huh.
when all is said and done, we take the scraps and we turn them into organic rag rugs.
Wow.
So you can outfit your baby, yourself, and your home in organics.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, I notice you have another company here that says, as women's organic travel and spa and yoga wear, and that's the BlueCanoe.com?
Yes, they were one of the first companies that I represented back in the mid-90s.
Uh-huh.
They have grown with their customer. They have a huge line that encompasses both men's yoga wear and women's and baby as well.
Uh-huh.
And they use a Peruvian organic cotton in just the most beautiful colors, anything from cardigans, the bra top, you know, the tops with the bras built in for
uh-huh.
exercise, or just regular daytime clothing.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm wondering, when you say about the beautiful colors, then how are they dyeing these so that they're complementing the organic cotton?
The clothing dyes that are used are called low-impact dyes.
Uh-huh.
And they don't use any harsh metals.
Uh-huh.
The washing of the cottons, when metal is used in a dyeing process, you get metal in the runoff.
Oh.
So they use a non-toxic or what we call low-impact dye.
Uh-huh.
There are things that are called vegetable dyes, which do not really hold. It turns into more of a faded kind of a look, so there
uh-huh.
are things that are vegetable dyed. And then back 5,000 years ago, Peruvian little brown and green seeds were called color-grown cotton.
Wow.
The color, actually, the cotton that came out of the ground was brown and green.
Really?
Yes. So you can still find color-grown cotton. I believe it's still grown in Arizona in this country. But color-grown cotton is, I would say, the purest organic cotton because it's
I would think so. That's amazing. I know from my time in Japan that the Japanese use actually tree bark, they use roses, they use amazing mm-hmm. things that I would never think of to dye silk.
Yes.
And I know silk is very receptive to dyeing, and cotton is receptive also in a different way than the silk. But when I was living in Kauai and dancing with our halau, that each year we had to make our own traditional dress that we would use for Queen Emalani. And I know that many times we had dyes that were from the ancient way that the Hawaiians had used dyes, and it was all cottons.
Mm-hmm.
So it is pretty amazing what nature offers as far as colors. How many of those can actually be used then?
Yes, berries and bark and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we used to, back in the 60s, do tea staining. If you got something that was a little too white or a little too bright, you could let it sit in a bucket of tea.
Uh-huh.
And it would turn it into this warm ivory color.
Uh-huh.
And that was tea dyeing.
So uh-huh.
There's lots of things you can use from nature.
So no matter what we're doing, you know, it brings me back to the thought that the Dalai Lama said in his book about the 21st millennium that we have to have a revolution, because he said there is no place now from which human beings are measuring their choices. He said we used to measure our choices from religion, held a network where consciousness measured their choices, and then it was penetrated by science and expanded,
mm-hmm.
and that there has been no formulation and no foundation for measuring choices. And it appears to me that we've brought ourselves to a point in our extension of science and all of the phases of life that we have, that our true measurement happens to be the home planet that we live on. And if we keep defying the rules or the qualities or the principles of physics that maintain all life on this planet, that we won't be able to continue having life or any balance in any way. So this information that you're providing about organic cotton and the ways in which this can support our human life, it's more and more these ways of simplifying our life and creating a healthier life. And you know, of course, it goes against that rule of consumerism, because if we're going to simplify, we certainly don't need to be creating so many of the things that are not vital to life.
Well, I agree with you, and I think that we had two wake-up calls in the last year through, you know, the consumerism industry, and that is, you know, we vote with our dollars, and I think what happened with our pets, with the pet food crisis, and then followed up by what happened with our children and now in our toothpaste and everything else, that if we don't start reading and we don't start looking and we don't start taking care of our own, nobody is going to.
Uh-huh.
We really have to stop and look. And if you go through the stores today, or any of the listeners go through the store, so you see people reading all the time now.
Yes, that never used to occur.
No, you'd pick it up, and if it was the right price, it went in the basket.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore.
No, it is not.
And it needs to be like that again. And I think that when you become completely responsible, you're not saying I'm voting against that, but you're really voting for something.
Right.
And that's the whole key today with buying consciously and making conscious choices. And there has never been a better time in the 15 years that I've, going into the 15 years that I've been in this industry. There are more choices today for organics and non-toxic and natural than we've ever had before. And fashion is not sacrificed. And that's
not
going to make people happy.
That's right. That's right. And I think that's the one aspect that if we get out of a polarized value system and a positioned value system that says everything is either or,
mm-hmm.
either it's right or wrong, good or bad, black or white, that is not true. You know, when Buckminster Fuller said that the geodesic dome and the triangle is the strongest geometric figure on this planet, well, if we're in a polarized condition in a value system, that is not balance. And so always it's looking for the triangulation, that third point that comes out of those two polarized positions, because polarized simply means extreme conditions regardless of what it is.
Yes.
And if we go for the third point, then we can take the best of technology, we can take the best of what is totally natural and organic and combine these forces, this knowledge, this wisdom, and do what the Dalai Lama is talking about, creating a workable foundation for humanity to really have a way to measure our choices. Because if we don't have some place to measure our choices, all we're doing is measuring our choices on whatever belief we have.
Right.
And these beliefs are so varied on this planet, there is no sustainability in our beliefs. And there certainly, in many cases, is no rationale nor common sense. They simply are beliefs that have come down from our heritage.
Right.
So when you're saying about reading the cans and reading in shopping, I love that whole principle about, you know, it's
what
time to wake up. Exactly. It's time to wake up and be conscious of what am I thinking? What am I saying? How am I behaving? What am I buying? Because I loved your phrase at the beginning, our dollar is a vote. Wherever we spend our money, we're saying, make some more of this. I'm totally in favor of this. And, you know, after 9/11, there were two things that I became aware of, and one was when Whole Foods skyrocketed to the highest profit-making marketing system, food marketing, in America. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting that that happened after 9/11? And then the other thing that happened was like a band of locusts, people moving to the islands and buying property. And my imagination made it up that what people were considering is they might have to change the quality and their lifestyle. And maybe they realized life could be more important than they even imagined.
Right.
So I think when you were talking about those life changes that, you know, in the beginning they sure don't feel good and we can't see that there's any blessing in it at all. But if we really understand that we are an evolutionary being as well as living on an evolutionary planet, the only possible thing that can happen is change. And if we move in a natural, organic way with this earth, the evolution might not always match our pictures and our desires. It is going to work for the evolution of life on this planet, no matter what. And I just so appreciate the knowledge that you've acquired and the focus that you're holding, and Where do you see this going now, Lauren? Because I think you said just in this last 6 months or year, it just exploded for you, didn't it?
It did, and it's as I say to people, sometimes I'll have a commission check that I, you know, when I got a check, I ran to the bank. That was the first thing I always did in all the years that I have been in business. And sometimes I'll tuck it into the drawer.
Wow.
And I may not make it there for a week, but I feel so abundant and so blessed, and I've stopped thinking of the world equating to a dollar. It means more to me now that the world is waking up, and instead of running to the corner store to get a carton of orange juice,
uh-huh.
I can go to the backyard, pick a couple of oranges off the tree. It takes a little more time
uh-huh.
to go slice it up, but boy, it sure does taste better.
Uh-huh.
And it sure is better for me, and it sure hasn't been processed as much.
Uh-huh.
And I think that if people will just, like, stop and look where they're voting, look what they're saying yes to, that, you know, within business, it really does turn around. It really does come back to what is, I think, the right choice. Because I don't think the world's going to continue with the how fast, how cheap world anymore. I just don't think it's going to work.
Uh-huh.
So I see my business increasing. I need more help.
Uh-huh.
I've asked for it and it's shown up.
Uh-huh.
And so every time I ask and I say to myself, oh, well, I could do that. I just work a couple more hours. I go, well, why do I want to work a couple more hours? Maybe somebody else wants to work a couple of more hours.
Right, right.
You know, so the business aspect of organic has turned into a business.
Uh-huh.
But it sure doesn't feel like it to me.
Uh-huh.
It still feels like, you know, even though the first 5 or 6 years I was sitting waiting for the phone to ring and all I were hearing were the crickets, that now it's like a tidal wave. And it's not going to go away. See, that's the beauty of it.
Right.
In the late 90s, it did go away.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
There's nowhere it's going now. It's just going to get stronger and better. And every time you see another movie star touting organic, it's good for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Because that makes people pay attention.
Uh-huh. And so the whole process that you're talking about, it's a reciprocal process that if we really start being conscious of what we're wearing on our bodies and where does it come from and how has it been grown, we're voting for another way to treat our earth as well.
We are. And take the organic clothing when your child has outgrown it and give it to another family.
Right. Right.
Pass it on.
Well, and I've felt for a very long time, particularly as we've watched our obesity epidemic in America, that it's crazy for us to be talking about taking care of the earth and contributing money to this defense mechanism or that defense mechanism for the wildlife or the environment if we're not taking care of our own body.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hypocritical because our body and the earth body are totally symbiotic and interrelated, and we're sharing the same breath.
Yeah, and what everybody needs to know is that doing one thing, when you don't know where to start, you only have to do one thing.
Exactly.
The one thing will take you to the next thing.
Right.
But when people say, I don't know how to begin, just do one thing.
Uh-huh.
There's certainly enough guidance today.
Right. And you know, anybody can go on the web and Google anything and get a clue about what the first step could be. Now, this is a very important piece that I want to reiterate that I spoke about when we opened the show. With Saturn coming into Virgo as of September 3rd of this year, and we'll be there for 2 to 2.5 years, so that's going to take us into 2009. Saturn has not been in Virgo for 30 years. So look back at your life from 1977 to 1979, what was going on? What was happening for you, Lauren?
I was starting my life. I was moving out of Michigan, where I was freezing I had moved from New York to Michigan for 3 years, and in 1978, I said to myself, I am going to be out of here before the first snowfall and before I turn 30.
Wow.
And I left that November, and I drove out. It snowed the day I left.
Wow.
So I did a geographic. I moved to California, but I'm a sunshine person.
Uh-huh. Well, that's inside and out, girl. I can tell you for sure. It's not just from the old soul out there. So this is a really valuable piece for all of us to consciously assess. Where were we 30 years ago from 1977 to 1979? And what has this classroom of life provided in this last 30 years to prepare us right now to live a different life for the next 30 years? So this is like a wonderful cycle of really being able to actively generate some consistent, reliable changes here on the earth. And the true thing that you were saying, Lauren, it is just one choice, one baby step at a time. And you know, I loved one of the things that Edgar Cayce would say. He'd say, start where you are with what you have, and more will be given.
Yes. What you're looking for, you already have. And
yeah.
I think what I said about the commission check going in the drawer before is that I don't feel that this is my money. I mean, it really belongs to the universe. It's a gift, and it's only a gift because it has a continual flow to it.
Right.
And so my goal, because my passion is, I tell everybody that I only do this so that I can support my really good habit, which is taking care of the four-legged creatures. So better quality food, more vet visits, maybe some more teeth cleaning, you know, a couple of times. And and if somebody needs help with their cat, I can give them that money.
Right, right. So that all life on this planet is respected for their contribution that all forms of life make, and that we can, all species, consciously live together in such gratitude for this exquisite earth. You know, the Institute of Noetic Science, I appreciate that organization so much because, you know, Edgar Mitchell was transformed when he went out in space. And it was in his returning to the earth, and he saw this phenomenal earth suspended in space. And he saw no lines for nations. He saw none of those demarcations that we humans have made up that have to do with ownership and war and death and dying in order to prove that this is mine. And he realized then that his whole life was about honoring this earth and honoring this globe that is the only home we've got. And that it's through respect, through taking care of each other, through the constant evolution. So this has been 35 years that he's been promoting this. So that's another wonderful organization to provide ways for us to look at what can we do differently and how can we educate ourselves to return to organic thinking.
I like that. I like that word, organic thinking. That's good.
It's so important because we are born with organic thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We're born cellularly dominated by a direct relationship with the earth we live on. Everything else that we've done, we have learned and made it into belief systems, made it into habits, made it into patterns that are either going to bring an extension and an expansion to aliveness, or it's not. because the earth holds the pattern with the universe of what sustains and supports life. It's been here longer than any of us.
Right. And if you just don't scare yourself into thinking that somebody or something else knows what it is that you need or want to do, if it came into your mind, then it's possible for it to be.
Exactly. And I think that's what you have so clearly demonstrated, Lauren, with the life that you're living and the choices that you're making. And, you know, I think the other thing we need to remember in following our passion is our passion's always going to take us out of our smallness. Now, what happens when we leave our smallness, which in most cases is familiar? We're going to feel frightened. Now, remember that fear is actually an adrenaline response, and the adrenaline is there to give us energy to go forward. Now, if that's running away from the lion, great. But if that's also energy for us to go forward in our life and expand and have the courage to take our next steps, if we use the level of fear on this planet now and turn the dial and send it into our passion, each and every one of us just being responsible for our own personal passion, we would live in a different world, and our children would not be terrorized by the conditions we've created for their future. So I just want to thank you ever, ever so much, Lauren, for your participation. And to remind the audience now, if you want to buy direct, you can go to bluecanoe.com. That's for women's organic and travel spa yoga wear, or that wonderful place under the Nile.com. Egyptian organic cotton baby clothes, toys, and bedding collection. And also, if you'd like to check out more about Lauren's amazing work with the feral cats, that's feralcatcaretakers.org. And then she has this wonderful little place called furryangel.com. Now, for wholesalers, I think you said they can just call 800-598-1840.
That's correct.
Great. Well, thank you ever so much, Lauren, for your participation.
You,
and we'll keep track of these amazing things in the organic world of clothing, and I hope you'll come back and join us again sometime.
Thank you. Anytime.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kay.
So I want to remind each and every one of you that I have a free teleconference call on my website, globalfamilyeducation.com. If you want to check out the material for my books, Point of Power, A Relationship with Your Soul, and Wheel of Life Cycles, The Power of Love to Heal Your Life, then I also have a CD on the material of generational cycles. You can get a sampling of that if you dial 212-990-7370. So that's a free teleconference call. And then you can also see the books and the CDs that are available for you. And you can contact me, ksd@globalfamilyeducation.com. Or you can leave a message for me on my 24-hour-a-day voicemail, 808-822-4332. I do personal sessions. I do corporate consulting. I work with families. Been trained in crisis coordinating. So I love sharing these tools and supporting your life to feel more balanced, more hopeful, and for you to have the courage to follow your passion. It really, really makes the difference for your own aliveness, and there's no one on the planet that can bring the gift of life that you are. So we need each and every one of you to follow your heart and follow your passion, just one baby step at a time. So I say to you, Mahalo Nui Loa. That means thank you from the deepest place in my heart. Thank you for the life that you're living. Thank you for your contributions to this world. Thank you for joining me on Global Family Live. If you'd like to be a sponsor for this show to keep it going, you can be an anonymous sponsor or an announced sponsor. And you can go to my website, globalfamilyeducation.com, and choose whatever form you would like with that as well. Now, you're in for a treat next week. My special guest is Toni Cameron, a lovely, lovely woman from Los Angeles, California. So, ano ai ko ala hele. Blessings on your journey. Ahui ho. Until we meet again. Aloha.